We are
What?
kind of, well, technically, we're past. Are you fucking catching Pokemon
Is it that obvious?
now? I saw your little finger go whoop.
Yeah, it's a Poi Coco.
Well, guys, it's the season finale.
Oh my God.
Let's see. We got fan mail.
We did, and it made me so
It literally made me
happy.
like tear up. It was so sweet.
Thank you, Shelby. I've been playing Pokemon with her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got fan mail from a wonderful Shelby, and she expressed to us that we helped her out in a really hard time. I'm not going to disclose her life or anything, but she was struggling really hard and was self-doubting her ability as an artist and turned to spirituality and found us through that. And I thought that was really cool. So thank you so much for listening. It was so sweet. And I don't know why I keep singing today. I just keep doing
You just feel
that.
it in your heart, and that's okay. I love that for you. Rana had their art show.
Yes, I did.
It was so fun. Everything looked so good.
I sold three pieces. It was wonderful. I kind of blacked out a lot of it. It was a lot for me to like, I don't know, I think I was like so anxious and stressed about it before it started that once it started, I was like, nope, gone.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, bye.
What were the pieces that sold?
I sold my Bob's Burgers lover poster.
Love that one.
I had a lot of people ask me that night if I was gonna make a full deck, so keep an eye out for that because I
I
think I'm
think you
gonna.
must.
I already kind of planned it out. I also planned a Scott Pilgrim deck.
You did. You told me about that.
So maybe that will be next.
That is one of my favorite movies.
I was pretty excited. I think I sent you a screenshot of what I chose for everybody,
Yeah.
right? Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that one. That one's been in the back of my mind for a while, but I can't let myself start a new one before I finish Bob's.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna have to wait. And I'm probably, I fucking know myself, I'm probably gonna go up and change the past ones that I did because I did those in like 2019 or something. So, but anyway, yeah, it went well. I also sold one of my cunty little cake boxes. It was
Love.
the one with the, it was like one of my favorite ones. It had like cherries and pearls all over it. And of course, everybody asked me how those were made. I just got wooden boxes off of Amazon and frosted plaster onto it. So I
They're
don't like to
beautiful.
gatekeep stuff. So if you want to try that, it was a lot of fun. It's really hard, but it was a lot of fun. And then I also sold an old plaque that actually, fun fact, somebody tried to ruin my career over that plaque.
Whoa, what?
That plaque actually has a lot of history, and that's why I put it up for sale because I was like, actually, I don't think I need this anymore.
I've never heard that story.
So there is a tattooer. Not gonna disclose the name because I fucking know this bitch stalks all my shit. So, anyway, we have known each other since I was in high school, I think. And her little sister came over one day, and like we were all hanging out, and her little sister was looking at all the art on my walls that I had made, and she was like, "Oh, that looks like something Beep would make." This person had said, "Yeah, our art styles are really similar. We draw a lot of stuff that looks kind of like we both would have made it." We just kind of like laughed it off and whatever. Well, then they became a tattoo apprentice. And at that time, that was when I first kind of realized that, like, oh my God, I could become a tattooer.
Yeah.
Like, I had always known that, like, it was a thing that I could do, like, become a tattooer. And I'd always kind of like wanted to do that. Like, I started drawing flash sheets in high school. And, but that was the first time I had like seen somebody that I knew do that. So I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. I've wanted to do that. Oh my God. I didn't know you could do that. Like, I just didn't think it was accessible like that. But anyway, I started making flashies in high school. Her and her friend attacked me for making a carbon copy of one of her sheets, which was not true. None of my stuff looked like anything she had made. So I don't know where that came from. And then it was just like a constant thing. She also tried to claim that I like plagiarized my poetry book, which like, I don't read poetry. I just don't. Like, I don't know. Like, I listen to like spoken word sometimes, or I did a lot in like high school. But like, I don't read poetry now. I just kind of like write my feelings down kind of thing. Like, I don't know how I could plagiarize that, but whatever. And then when I made that plaque, apparently at that time they were also painting on plaques, but I had painted my first plaque in October of like 2019. She had posted her first one in like July or something like that. Some name with a J. And so I had already been like painting on wood, and I just happened to paint that one, which is just a cloud with an eyeball in it. Nothing crazy. And she had been painting eyeballs on wood, I guess. And so she got like all her little minions to attack me. And that's why if you go on my Instagram and you look at that plaque, there are no comments allowed.
She sounds like a fucking hater. And also, like, I'm sorry, but tattooing, there are so many repetitive motifs that it's almost impossible to not have the same ones.
She thinks she designed the crying heart thing, like the one I did on you. I was almost sure that she would like try to come after me for that one, honestly.
That's crazy. Yeah. Because that's such like a traditional design.
Literally. Yeah.
Oh my God. We hate gatekeepers.
Yeah. And when I was getting my nose pierced by her, first of all, she didn't tell me how to take care of it before I left the shop.
That's not good.
Yeah. It was my first piercing, too. Anyway, when I was there, her apprentice was like, "You look really familiar." And I was like, "Oh, well, like, I've been friends with her for a while. I don't know, maybe you've, like, seen pictures of us." She's like, "No." And then, like, while this person was prepping my skin to be pierced, her apprentice goes, "Oh, my God, you look like a bunch of drawings that she does." And this person was like, "Oh my God, yeah, I didn't even ever realize that. You look like the pinup girls that I draw."
Literally obsessed with you.
Anyway, I digress. but anyway, so I'm glad that one will have a good home. I'm going to miss it, though. It's been a good piece in my... I don't know, every time I look at it, I'm just kind of like, "You bitch." Like, and now that it's sold, I'm like, "Ha ha ha."
Hell yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, the art show went well.
Reina Lore.
Yes, what a season. We have gone through trials and tribulations together, y'all.
That's fucking truth.
You guys have been with us through the best and the worst of times so far. And we love you for every moment of it. And we appreciate you all, always. Actually, there's a couple of you guys out there that listen to me that I don't really appreciate. But we're not going to get into more lore of mine today. So.
You need to unlock that.
No, we can keep that one stowed away for now. How do you feel about this past season?
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
Because our lives have been a wild ride.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're ending it on an up.
Yeah.
For sure. And I love that.
Yeah. I think we're doing great. I love the show every time. Mm-hmm. Every time we record it. I'm sorry I'm so lazy with editing, guys. Trying to get better at it, but thanks for bearing with me. Because once I complete an episode, I'm always like in love with it and very happy with it. I'm proud of it. But it's really hard to get things started.
They're not a girl, but they're just a girl.
Period. I'm a girl in the same way that cereal is soup. like, it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Exactly. anyway, so, I don't know. Are we ready to jump into things?
Yeah, jump into it, bestie. Is there anything you want
to talk about before we... Okay. For our finale, I decided to take it all the way back to season 1, episode 1.
Ah, I had hoped it was a Playboy thing.
And circle back to the centerfold curse.
Love it. Can't wait.
So as a little recap for those of you who maybe did not listen in chronological order, I think you should because it would give you context for how crazy your lives have been. But if you didn't do that, a little recap basically is that the centerfold curse was a Hollywood conspiracy that essentially if you were ever a centerfold in Playboy, you were doomed to an eerie death.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this one's definitely eerie. This one's definitely eerie.
Love a good ooky spooky.
So today I'm going to tell y'all about Star Stowe.
Wow. What a name. Never heard of her. Can't wait.
She was gorgeous, of course. If you guys don't already know, also, there's a documentary and a podcast about some of these stories already. So they're like from two actual previous Playboys. So
very cool.
Definitely be sure to check that out. The documentary is the Playboy Murders documentary. And I think that one only has one of... That one's mainly about the centerfold curse and the murders and stuff like that. The other thing is the podcast, which is Girls Next Level. And that one is hosted by two girls that used to be Hugh Hefner's girlfriends.
Oh.
So that one talks more about like living as a Playboy and being with Hugh Hefner than it does about like this stuff. But I think they cover some of this stuff. But anyway, I digress. Go listen to that stuff if you don't.
Rana, you're looking so angelic in the light right now. Thank you. Your hair is slaying. Oh. Your face slaying.
Thank you. I have no makeup on right now because wow. My skin was suffering.
You're glowing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, so now I'm like blushing.
Who got you smiling like that, bro?
My bestie. So anyway, Star Stowe, whose born name is Ellen Louise Stowe, was born March 19th, 1956, and her father was an engineer. And when she was a teenager, she moved to Los Angeles, she moved to Las Vegas and then to Los Angeles. And she moved to both those places because she was a stripper.
Good for her.
Slaying. And that was the way that, or I saw some conflicting things. One of them said that the way she was discovered for Playboy was working at the club. There was another one that I'll get into in a second because I don't want to like give it away. But she had a Playboy spread and the title was Starstruck. Thought that was kind of cute, not gonna lie.
Very cute.
They kind of ate with that, I won't lie. And that came out in February of 1977. And obviously it's since been replaced. They like reissued a new February 1977 because she's dead now.
Oh, wow.
So Star looked like an innocent teenager, which is creepy. And aside from the nearly nude shots, there were photos of her with Kiss and at a party Hugh Hefner threw for Elton John. Star at one time dated the founder and bassist Gene Simmons of Kiss.
No shit.
And another article that I found said that the way that she was discovered for Playboy actually was because she was already dating Gene Simmons and he sent her photos to Hugh. So I don't know which one's true. I don't know if she knew Gene Simmons before she was a Playboy or...
Interesting.
If... I didn't get clarification on that. So she also took part in a number of publicity shots for Kiss. And Star also appeared on one of the band's picture discs.
Hmm.
So Star later married and divorced Peter Maligo. Maligo? Don't know. And she had a son with him. And his name was Michael. And Star moved to Fort Lauderdale in 1986 to find work as an exotic dancer. She went back to dancing.
Which, can I just give a little PSA as somebody who pole dances,
mm-hmm.
that in this house we fucking love strippers and yeah. they are the OGs of pole dancing.
Period.
And deserve all the respect because they are the founders and they are just as important and even more important as people who are just dancing for fitness.
And dancing is fucking hard. Pole dancing is hard as hell.
Yeah, it is.
So... the utmost respect, because holy shit.
Mm-hmm. That was my little PSA.
Yeah, respect sex workers and dancers. Hell yeah. Like, just fucking let them make their money. That was a crazy pop that my leg just did.
Yeah, does it feel good?
Kinda. It felt kinda good. I can't really tell, honestly. Mm. It might hurt. Anyway. When Michael was 6, she sent him to live with her mother, but still stayed in touch with him through phone calls and visits.
Aww.
Dancing ended up not working out, and Star eventually fell into prostitution and consequently ended up also becoming an alcoholic and drug addict. In 1991, Star moved in with a boyfriend and gave up drugs and prostitution. And she unfortunately relapsed in August of 1996 when, after a drunken argument, that they broke up.
Wow.
So Star went back to her former life of being a prostitute and working on the streets. And on the afternoon of March 16th, 1997, Dennis Pickering, now a former detective with the Coral Springs Police Department, responded to a report of a dead woman lying face down behind a drugstore. And police believe that she was picked up, killed, and then dumped sometime after 5 p.m. on the 16th.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, that ended up being Star.
Oh, no.
And at that time, I think she was like 40-something. But this is where things get like kind of eerie. So police linked the murder to that of Sandra K. Walters, who was a prostitute who had been strangled in Fort Lauderdale a few weeks earlier on February 25th.
Serial killer.
So when Tammy Strunk was found murdered in November of 1997, police believed the deaths might be the work of a serial killer.
Mm.
And this theory was strengthened when several other prostitutes in the area were subsequently strangled and dumped in a similar manner. And unfortunately, Star murders remain unsolved. We don't know who exactly was responsible for her death. The last time she was seen was getting into a customer's car.
Her poor son.
And on February 25th, 1997, Sandra K. Walters, like I said, who's 32, was found strangled and nude behind an adult bookstore in Palm Beach County, which is the county I lived in.
Nice.
on March 16th, 1997, Star is the one who died. On November 21st, 1997, Teresa Kettner, 41, was found murdered in a grassy area behind Turtle Run's shops in Coral Springs. On November 28th, 1997, the body of 36-year-old Tammy M. Strunk. I already said that one. Why is that one in here twice?
I've never met a good Tammy.
Well, she's dead, so.
Just some food for thought.
Sandra K. Walters. Oh, maybe I didn't already say that one. Sorry. On November 28th, 1997, the body of 36-year-old Tammy M. Strunk was found in a trash bin at a shopping center in Sunrise, Florida. Strunk was a homeless woman and had last been seen 3 days before her murder at a Salvation Army. And after Strunk's death, police began to consider a possible, although unconfirmed, connection in the murders and collected evidence, including a unique dark blue towel with the monogrammed letters JSM, which appeared to have been disposed of along with the body. I don't know how they ended up connecting that to anything. Didn't find anything about it.
Interesting.
Don't know if it was just like a, maybe like a, I don't know, hotel towel or something. Maybe it was her towel, because she had just left the Salvation Army like 3 days earlier. Maybe she got a towel. In January 1999, 44-year-old Sheila Griffin, a former nurse, was found partially clothed and strangled in a vacant lot in Fort Lauderdale. In February of 1999, the strangled body of Crystal Martin was found in a motel in Fort Lauderdale. And in June of 2000, Melissa LeJames, 30, was found murdered and dumped in a canal in Fort Lauderdale. On June 27th, 2001.
Oh my God, it just keeps going. Jesus Christ.
A homeless man named Joel Tiller was arrested in Miami after DNA connected him to the rape and murder of Sheila Griffin. He was also connected to the rape and robbery of an 88-year-old tourist in Orlando committed in January.
Creep.
At the time of his arrest, he was awaiting trial for charges of assault, attempted sexual assault, and armed burglary. He was previously convicted of raping and murdering a woman in Georgia in 1968, lighting a woman on fire in front of her daughter,
what?
And choking and raping a woman in San Diego in 1996.
Why did they let this man out of jail?
Well, they didn't. Well, they did the first time, I guess. Maybe he escaped? I don't know. So he received two life sentences in 2003.
Thank God.
Investigators acknowledge the possibility of his involvement in other murders. And Roberto Wagner Fernandez, who died in a plane crash in Paraguay in 2005, was connected in 2021 to three murders in the area originally grouped with the others. And they... found him responsible for Kim Dietz Livesi, who was killed in June of 2000, Sia DeMoss, killed in August of 2000, and Jessica Good, whose body was discovered in the Biscayne Bay in August of 2001. Police believe he may have been responsible for other unsolved murders in South Florida, but as of yet, only three have been confirmed because, you know, he's dead, so they can't put him on trial.
Yeah.
But yeah, nobody found them connected to Starstow, unfortunately. So her case, like I said, remains unsolved. We're still not sure what happened to her. But yeah, that's my season finale story. I brought it back to season one, episode one. So if you're an OG, here's a little callback for you.
I love that you brought it all the way around. Don't love the story because it's very sad. But glad the fucker is dead.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Florida's a crazy place. If you're living there, so sorry. if you like it there, good for you, I guess. Could not be me.
If people like my dad fit in Florida.
That's true. I keep forgetting your dad's in Florida, and he loves it.
He loves it. Living his best
thriving.
Life. Well, should we take a little break?
Yeah.
Snick a little snack?
Yes. Snick a little snack.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay. I told my grandma that I was probably going to go up to New York at some point to visit my friend. And she said, well, you better watch out. It's so dangerous up there. They've got so many illegals.
Actually, by the way, y'all, most Mexicans are going back to Mexico.
Oh, did you hear that President AMLO said that he's going to start deporting mm-hmm. Americans who are avoiding paying taxes in Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to send y'all back to your own country. How about mm-hmm. that?
Taste of your own fucking medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most Mexicans who came here for a better life are actually leaving and going back to Mexico. Just so y'all know.
Fun fact, I've thrown my underwear on stage at an Arctic Monkeys concert.
Repeat that?
I've thrown my underwear on stage at an Arctic Monkeys concert.
What do you do with it?
Kicked it off the stage with his foot.
Nice.
Yeah. Acknowledged.
Mm.
The trick is to wear a skirt. For easy access,
so
obviously.
So you were wearing them previously to throwing them on the stage? You didn't just, like, bring an extra pair to throw up?
No, I was wearing them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of unsanitary, bestie.
Yeah. Sabrina caused COVID.
Oh, God.
Well, should we get started?
Yeah, why the heck not?
Cool. So you did something that was like kind of in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also doing something that's kind of in our backyard.
Oh.
And this one, I may end up doing like a part two of at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to do official kills, but there are a lot of suspected kills.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Official kills?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, if I did all of them, we would have been here all night.
That's fair.
And so, with that being said, this story starts out on October 21st in 2007 in Hendersonville. Retirees Jack Bryant, 80, and his wife Irene Bryant, 84, of Horseshoe, North Carolina, left for a hike through the Pisgah National Forest. Their family contacted Henderson County sheriffs after 2 weeks of no contact. A massive search was launched with helicopters, cadaver dogs. It was also discovered that Irene attempted to call 911, but lost signal the day they disappeared.
Mm.
So the leading theory at this point is that there is some sort of like accident or injury,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're in their 80s.
Yeah.
But on November 10th, a woman's body was found on Barnett Branch Trail, and it was positively identified as Irene after being sent to...
No.
Mm-hmm. It got sent to the medical examiner in Chapel Hill because she was so badly beaten, they couldn't tell.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And, like, part of her arm was, like, amputated.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, somebody cut her arm off?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
She had been beaten to death with a blunt instrument. The only lead they had was a bank card of the Bryants that was used in Ducktown, Tennessee to withdraw $300. Security footage showed an older Caucasian man in a yellow rain jacket with the hood up, obscuring his face. On February 3, 2008, a hunter found a human skull in Nantahala National Forest. Authorities, then came in and found a pelvis and spine nearby, and those bones were sent to Chapel Hill as well, where they were identified as Jack Bryant.
No.
On December 3rd, 2007, Cheryl Dunlap, a 46-year-old Crawfordville, Florida resident, didn't show up at church to teach her Sunday school class, which was very unlike her.
Oh.
Her family reported her missing, as that was very unusual. And a search was unable to find any clues besides her abandoned Toyota Camry north of the county line. On December 16th, a hunter named Ronnie Renz and his dogs discovered the decapitated body of a white woman in Apalachicola National Forest. It was confirmed to be Cheryl Dunlap, and the only suspect was a man driving a green truck who was seen in the area when she disappeared. He had also used her debit card 5 different times, withdrawing a total of $700 from her account. Witnesses claimed they saw a man in a green Chevy Astro van, but that man was never arrested.
Hmm.
On January 1st, 2008, 24-year-old sales manager Meredith Emerson took her dog Ella for a hike along Freeman Trail on Blood Mountain in Georgia's Bogle State Park. Witnesses saw a mysterious older man with his dog following the two of them. On January 3rd, her Chevrolet Cavalier was found on the side of the road, containing a water bottle, dog leash, and a police baton.
What the fuck?
Yeah, very odd.
She came fucking prepared.
That day, the mysterious man was identified as 61-year-old Gary Hilton.
61?
Mm-hmm. A local drifter with a bad attitude and strange behavior. He was labeled a person of interest. Ella the dog was found, as well as bloody items belonging to Meredith that were in a dumpster, such as clothes, wallet, and her ID card.
Was the dog dead?
The dog was fine.
Oh, okay.
And the dog was returned to her family, actually.
Oh, love to see it.
Love to see it.
Sad.
Very sad.
Glad that they got to go back home.
Witnesses called about Hilton vacuuming out his Chevy Astro van, and he was arrested and charged with kidnapping. Hilton agreed to reveal where Meredith's remains were in exchange for dropping the death penalty.
Oh my god.
And he led authorities to the Dawson Forest Management area where they found her decapitated body.
Oh my god.
He said he did this to avoid identification and that he abducted her to steal her bank cards. But when she gave him the wrong PIN number and refused to tell him the right one, he beat her with a tire iron.
Oh my god.
Hilton was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years.
Possibility.
There's a possibility.
There's a possibility.
So he went to jail for that, just for the murder of Meredith. In September 2009, a hiker found objects belonging to Hilton, which were used to in Cheryl Dunlap's murder. At the trial, he was brought to Florida, where prosecutors alleged he kept her alive for 2 days before decapitating her and attempting to incinerate her head and hands.
What the fuck?
To get rid of fingerprints and dental records.
Oh my god.
The jury found him guilty and recommended the death penalty. On February 22, 2011, he was officially sentenced to death row in Florida. In 2012, he went to trial for the murders of the Bryants. He admitted to killing Irene instantly and then keeping Jack alive to extort him for his banking information before shooting him in the head with a .22 Magnum.
Oh my god.
Hilton is suspected to have many more victims throughout the Southeast throughout the years. He's currently at Union Correctional Institute in Rayford, Florida.
He's still alive?
He is still alive, yes.
How old is he now? Like 80?
Gotta be. He's gotta be super fucking old. But the reason why I actually picked this story is because one of my clients who listens to the show told me that his parents were having work done at their house in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the contractors said to his dad something about, like, wow, you've got some pretty daughters. And his dad was like, you girls do not come outside while this man is here. And that man, they later saw in the news, and that was Mr. Hilton.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Very creepy.
Oh, my God.
He also said that he just couldn't bring himself to kill Meredith's dog.
Okay. Well,
no problem decapitating her, but
yeah, I'm like incinerating her.
Yeah, but couldn't kill the dog.
I mean, I guess thank you. I like for not killing the dog. I don't know. I think maybe you should have tried not to kill any of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, for what? Like, what did you do that for? You could have just robbed them. Just rob them.
Right.
Just rob them. You don't need to kill them.
Yeah.
You know, like it might require a little extra work not to get caught, but like, just they're fucking 80 years old hiking in the middle of the woods.
Exactly.
Just rob them. You don't need to kill them.
You could just push them over.
Literally. You could knock them out. Take their stuff. Leave. You don't need to kill them.
Exactly.
My God. Everyone is crazy.
Yeah. So maybe sometime in season 3. I will do a suspected murders episode.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
We're doing a tarot reading, right?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe we should do a tarot reading for the time that we will spend apart until we come back for season 3.
That sounds good. All right, we got it. We're back. We're good.
Hell yeah. Can't keep us down.
Can't keep us down. The universe tries every time. Every time we have to record. It's like, what if I did this, though?
It definitely has nothing to do with us. So this is for while you guys are away from us and missing us dearly.
And this is just to show what the break has in store for everybody. How many do we want to pull?
You want to do 3?
Sure. First card is... I actually don't know.
5 of cups.
Oh, I see.
Regret, failure, disappointment, pessimism.
No!
No! The Five of Cups often appears in a tarot reading when a situation hasn't turned out the way you expected and you are sad, regretful, and disappointed. Instead of moving on with your life, you are choosing to wallow in your self-pity. All you can focus on right now is what went wrong and how you failed. Suggests that you're stuck in the past and can't let go. Old wounds and bitter memories flood your mind as you think about what's happened.
Oh, no. I mean, maybe that's talking to me about the art show, because that didn't exactly go as planned originally.
Or maybe it's talking about the house.
Oh,
or
maybe. Maybe
both.
Or maybe the season, because this definitely did not go as planned.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's see. Maybe it's past, present, future.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll...
Yeah, let's pull the next one. Okay. Let's get some context.
The devil.
Okay. The devil card is about the shadow self, attachment, addiction, restriction, sexuality. The devil card represents your shadow side and the negative forces that constrain you and hold you back from being the best version of yourself. You may be at the effect of negative habits, dependencies, behaviors, thought patterns, relationships, and addictions. You have found yourself trapped between the short-term pleasure you receive and the longer-term pain you experience.
Why is it being so mean to us?
Yeah, what the fuck? Are they mad that we're going on break? We need a break. Sorry about it. God. Okay, next one. Jesus.
The Three of Cups, I think. Do you want to double check that for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it had been the Three of Swords, I would have just thrown the whole deck away.
Actually, tarot reading's canceled, guys.
Well, the Three of Cups, it's about celebration, friendship, creativity, collaboration.
Okay.
Thank God.
So maybe it is past, present, future.
The Three of Cups is a card of celebration, friendship, sisterhood, and creative collaborations. Your friends and family are here to support you and lift you up to even higher levels of success. Celebrate with them and enjoy their camaraderie. You are encouraged to gather with your closest friends and have a good time together, talking, laughing, sharing, and creating. Wow. It indicates a very sociable period, so
yay.
Let us all have a very sociable summer.
Yes. Slut shit summer, guys.
Absolutely.
Slut shit summer. Get on it. It's super important that everybody does that this summer.
And maybe take a tea break or something.
IDK. Have a Jersey Shore summer for a little bit. Only for a little bit, though. Not for that long.
What a send off. Right.
Yeah. Hopefully these cards don't ring true for everybody. other than the last one, I hope everybody has a lot of creativity and collaboration and community and success and love and happiness
and all that good stuff
while we're on break. Keep an eye on our Instagram to see the official release of season 2, or the official release date, I guess you could say, of season 2
of season 3.
Season 3, sorry, my bad. You're so right, we're about to be on season 3.
Yeah.
Crazy. We just finished season 2.
Crazy.
So yeah, keep an eye out for that. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, you want to send us more fan mail, that would be really cool. You can email us at greenwitchcottagepod@gmail.com. And if you want to follow our Instagram, it's at GWC Podcast. And you can see all of, if you're listening to us on iTunes, for some reason, it will not let me update our photo.
Oh, that sucks.
So if you want to see what our new logo is supposed to look like, because it's on Spotify, but for some reason, it's not coming up on Apple Podcasts.
Weird.
You can take a look at our Instagram. It's on there. Or just whichever is Spotify. But anyway, yeah. I think that's everything, right?
I think so.
Yeah, we did Instagram, email. Make sure to give us a rating. That would be really cool. More ratings mean more people see us. So more reviews, more ratings. That would be super cool. If you listen to us and you like us, please leave us a review or at least leave us a rating.
And
it takes like 2 seconds.
And if you're in WNC and you vote of Best of WNC, vote for us for Best Local Podcast because that's category this year.
Period.
That'd be fun.
That would be super fun. So, yeah. Have a good summer. Have a safe summer.
And until then,
light up
and look out.
And we love you.
We'll see you on the flip side.
We'll see you in season 3.
Bye.
Bye.